from Gillette Stadium. It's Illack and Bertrand. Sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates. On 98.5 The Sports Hub and online at 98.5thesportshub.com.
Because the music we're hearing is taking place at a different time. The time space continues.
This is like the broadcast.
You sound off. Even though you sound on here, you're off.
So I should delay my, or should I jump it?
I think you should jump it. Go ahead. Start now.
Let's start the song over.
Okay, Tom, can you restart the Eagles? Take it easy.
Yeah, Tom, try it again.
Tom's going to, Zoa's going to try and sing a full half second ahead of the
Shut
lyrics.
Up! Well, I'm running down the road trying to loosen my load. I got seven women on my mind.
Stop. Now we're gonna get reports back as to how it sounded.
Okay,
he nailed it.
Did I?
I think he started out great, and then by the end, he caught up. The music caught up to him.
Wait, still a
little. All right, thank you. 617-779-0985. We'll continue with your Patriots. Rob Gronkowski calls coming up at 12:20. We'll revisit Tom Brady's latest guru fascination, or maybe it's been going on for decades. I don't know.
How about this?
Stedman Graham.
How about a strange friend?
Stedman Graham. And what he means to the world, not just Tom Brady. But first, we go to Mark in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Mark.
Costa Rica.
Zolak and Bertrand, Hardy in for Beetle.
What's going on, fellas?
How you doing?
Hey, bud.
Hey, Zo, let me ask you a question.
What's up?
Playing quarterback against the Patriots defense.
Yep.
Who on the Patriots defense are you afraid of or intimidates you?
Stephon Gilmore. I stay away from him.
Why? What's he going to do?
He's
going to bat down a pass. He's not going to take the ball away from the receiver.
Okay.
That's
he will bat down the ball that I throw to him.
Yeah,
which would make
be
him,
an incompletion.
Okay. Would make me look bad.
Okay. They've got nobody on defense that intimidates anybody. The opposing offenses are afraid of nobody on the defense.
How's that working out for Jacksonville right now, defensively, who can't stop anybody? They've got nothing but intimidators on the defensive front. Badasses.
Yeah, well,
their linebackers
worked out pretty well for them last year.
Will knock your, you know, the dirt. Go ahead.
The last best defense the Patriots have had in the second half of this dynasty from 2008 forward was that 2014 Super Bowl team that beat the Seahawks. Right? They had people that could lay the wood. They had Brandon Browner. They had Darrell Revis. They intimidated people. They've got nobody on this defense that anybody is afraid of.
Browner, knock your freaking head off. I mean, Browner, decapitate you. I would knock him in the middle if he's there.
Right, that's what I mean. The Patriots.
Hey, Hightower,
like
kill
that.
You.
Oh, come on. Listen, Zoe, remember when Rodney Harrison came to the Patriots in 2003?
Sure.
What happened in training camp?
Yeah.
He laid out Troy Brown in training camp. And after practice, the media asked him about it. And what did he say? He said, I'm not here to make friends. They have nobody with any swagger on defense. Nobody's afraid of them. That's why a guy
goes
like Nick
goes with Edelman in practice. We've seen that before.
And I
know where you're going with this, but you got to understand, too, rules have changed since Rodney Harrison was here.
Right.
You can't decapitate people anymore.
Not only that, but hasn't Trey Flowers played pretty well himself as a guy who can disrupt? Look,
there's a guy that took an open hand and slapped David Andrews a week ago. Wasn't really a big slap. Kind of a casual slap across the helmet. He got ejected. I've seen guys like Matt Light rip helmets off and swing them at people. And they get to, you know what they get to do? They get to get separated and then all of a sudden get to go play the next series.
Yeah, and Mark, you may be right. There may be nobody out there who teams are literally afraid of playing week in and week out. To which I say, so what? You know, it's not about...
What's that doing for the Rams? Like, who's the intimidating defense right now?
And
there is none.
Do you really think that football players get afraid of other football players on a regular basis? There are times and there are guys who you don't want to go up against. You know, I understand that. But week in and week out, No one's really afraid or intimidated. Can we run the ball and throw the ball against this squad? And Stephon Gilmore's played well. Trey Flowers has played well. Other guys, especially in the front seven, has stepped up. Up until this past weekend for the Patriots in the weeks previous in that win streak that they had where the defense played well. It was the defense that was winning you those ball games. The offense has yet to really find its rhythm. To all the stuff we were talking about before, Rob Gronkowski in and out, Sony Michel missing time, Julian Edelman not available for the first four games. You have the defense to thank for the bulk of your wins so far this season. So while the intimidation factor might not be there like you want it to be, I say what Zoe said, you're living in a league of the past if you think that's their biggest concern. Their biggest concern is stopping teams before they make it into the red zone and, more importantly, holding them to only 3 points once they get down there. That's it. They don't care about having intimidators on defense. It's not important to them. Keeping them off the scoreboard. That's what's important to the Patriots, to Belichick, to the defensive coordinators, to the players themselves. Intimidation. Overrated in the NFL of 2018. Oscar in Manchester, you're on Zolak and Bertrand. Go ahead, Oscar.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Good, good. I was just, I just had a question, and I'll hang up and let you guys talk about it. I was wondering if you guys thought that there was a deal behind the scenes with Gronk and ownership where they told him, we're not going to pay you what you want, but we're going to play you less games, basically increasing his pay by reducing the games, because Gronk goes from making like $600,000 a game to now he's going to make over $1 million a game for games played. So I'll just hang up and see what you guys have to say about it.
Yeah, but why would they do the incentive stuff that, which is all predicated on getting out there on the field and getting reps and making plays? You know, to me, those two things are in opposition to each other. If they had just said at the beginning of the season, and I don't believe this is a conversation they would ever have, Zoe, if they said, look, we can't pay any more money, but we'll tell you right now, you're only going to play 10 games this season. We're going to sit you out even when you're not injured. So, Rob Gronkowski.
That sounds good. That's a good deal.
Okay.
Thank you.
So how am I not going to play those games?
Thanks.
Well, we'll say you're injured, but you're really not all that injured. What do you say, pal? Good.
Right.
Because what especially guys like Gronk like to do is to go through the grind of the season, be here every day, practice, go through all the nonsense, but then not get to play in the games. Yeah. They love that.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Speaking of not playing in games, there might not be a game taking place this upcoming Monday. Do you know that?
Well, they're supposed to play in Mexico.
I want you to see that. I tweeted out two different pictures, an aerial shot and a sideline shot of the actual playing field in Mexico City. What an embarrassment it is for Mexico City to want the NFL to be there. We were there last year. Nice hotels, decent experience. I mean, I thought it was okay. Nice experience. It's a bitch to get to. It's tough. I mean, but there's a reason you do it. I understand why they do it. I understand why they go to London. You should see the field in Mexico City. It looks like a cow pasture.
You know how Pittsburgh gets chewed up by the end of the season?
They shouldn't play on this. This game's going to be in L.A.
Yeah, it looks better in Pittsburgh at the end of the season than it does right now.
Why wouldn't you, a month ago, anticipate we got the biggest game during the season? This is the biggest game of the season. This is Rams Chiefs,
and you kind of knew this 4 weeks.
You got the game of the year. Yes.
You didn't know it just last week.
No, right. You got the game of the year.
Ago. Yeah, you knew it.
64 NFL record. 64 is the over under for this game.
The league has people everywhere on the ground right now. So Tuesday's drop dead day down there. This thing ain't taking place in Mexico. There's no way they play this game Monday.
You know why it looks like that? They had a concert last week on the field.
Who was the concert?
I don't know.
Can you find out?
Let's see. Yeah.
All right.
Rico's Suave.
Maybe it was like Tejano music of some kind.
What? Maybe it was James Taylor.
Maybe it was a James Taylor concert.
Maybe he said, hey, maybe it was Kenny Chesney, Beer in Mexico.
What are the Mexico songs you can think of? James Taylor, Mexico. Kenny Chesney, I'll take your word for it. Mexican radio. Maybe it was the Wall of Voodoo reunion show.
Wow, there's one for Lithium.
That's more first wave.
Is it?
Yeah. All right, we'll step aside here. We got the action update. When we return, we will listen to more of the man that Tom Brady brought up last night in his interview with Jim Gray.
His good friend.
Stedman Graham. And the wisdom of Stedman Graham when we return on Zolak and Bertrand.
Now, a look at the numbers with the action update on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is Brent Musburger's Action Update for 98.5 The Sports Hub. Are you hiring? With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on candidates in an online dashboard at Indeed.com/hire. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Aaron Rodgers and the Packers will be narrow road underdogs visiting Russell Wilson and Seattle early in Week 11. The Seahawks are favored by 2.5 on Thursday night. The total is 49. On Sunday night, the Bears are laying 3 at even money at home against Minnesota. The over-under is 45.5. Basketball, UMass is a 3.5-point favorite at home tonight against Harvard. UMass Lowell is catching 3.5 at Central Connecticut. For the latest odds all the time, visit vsin.com. From Las Vegas, I'm Ron Flatter. This has been your Action Update on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You can hear the podcast of Zolak and Bertrand on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com. Here's Zoe Beetle from Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates.
Translated, this song means One More Time. It is one of the hits that was played on the field in Mexico City, which destroyed the field and now is necessitated, perhaps, moving the Rams-Kansas City game that's supposed to be played there on Monday night. It's Zoe tweeted out the pictures. What a mess. What a mess.
Hey, NFL, National Football League, it's time to wake up. They don't want you. They don't care about you. They don't care about your league, about your games. Because you know what we're going to do? We're going to have B or C type acts have a massive concert here. And then we're going to play a soccer game the Saturday before your game. And we're going to tear the damn field up. And we're not going to stop business. We're not going to shut down because the NFL is coming to Mexico City. We were there last year. They banged the place out. But it's like, it's all families. There's kids everywhere. It's not a normal NFL environment.
Are you seeing the same thing I'm seeing, Jim?
What?
About the concert?
Yes.
Yes.
Menudo?
Oh. With a raw like a sushi?
I didn't see that.
Okay.
This Menudo was concert there? Was free.
Free concert.
Right.
This isn't like you're dropping a couple $100 or whatever it is in
right.
Mexico. Like it's this just, is anybody walk off the street, tear up the field. Just come in. Come and see a free concert. Tear it up.
Telehit was the name of the big concert. It was, but multiple acts.
I believe it because you see the area around it. It is not. It's not good. For better time, it's not a nice area.
Spent some time around that.
We were well away from.
You spent some time around the hotel.
A hotel, yes.
Like hotels, walking
nice.
Around enjoying the.
Oh my God, the Marriott, the Intercontinental, gorgeous, yeah. Gorgeous. Yeah. There's a section where we stayed in a 4-block area that is phenomenal. Yeah. They said don't go outside that area.
Yeah, you tweeted out a bunch of pictures of like meat on the side of the road, right?
About a block from the hotel. It was 85 degrees that day. I had to kill, and just raw chicken out on the cutting boards, and the guys selling it, grabbing it. With their hands, they're cutting them up, and then they're grabbing the bag and putting the chicken in, and the women are taking it and putting it in their bag and sticking it in their purse, and the raw chicken juices everywhere.
Yeah, take it home and cook it, and you're fine.
I'm sure that, like how they say, don't put chicken on your counter at home,
yeah.
And then you got to scrub it down with basically bleach to eliminate. Yeah.
You don't.
And then, I started eating street meat. Because they're cooking it out on the grill, and it smells great because they got the chicken on the skewers and that, over the hot coals and that. And then Wait a minute, where'd you get that chicken from? Was it this hot street fair down there? Oh, it's half cooked in the sun. Oh, I see.
It's hot chicken. Just, is it spicy? No, it's come from the hot sun.
Yeah, that
hot
that,
raw chicken.
What marinade is that? Oh, that sour, that sweet and sour marinade? Oh, it's called Lode de Sun. You put it in the sun and it sours like in about 4 hours.
So you didn't have any street food while you were there?
I did not. No, strict orders. No.
Oh,
no.
Yeah, okay.
No ice? No.
No ice is a big one. No. All right, ice. Let's get to Tom Brady's guru that he brought up last night. One of his gurus. You know, we know he's down with Gotham Chopra. We know that he's down with Tony Robbins.
Okay, hold on.
But a new one entered into the conversation last night.
Gotham Chopra. We
sat around. Down with Gotham.
He's a cool dude.
I liked him.
Like, I could see the intrigue there. Like,
yes.
Good thinker. Yeah.
Right.
Guy's got it going on. The old man. He's
a nice guy.
He's got history in the business.
Yeah.
What's Stedman got? I mean, he's this big motivational speaker, right? Well,
our good friend Stedman always says, we keep going.
Right. That's that's the thing that resonates in Tom Brady's head.
It's like Dory told Nemo, just keep swimming.
The biggest thing that he's done is Oprah Winfrey, literally and figuratively. He has been with Oprah for a long time. I don't know what he has accomplished.
Oprah's been big.
We went through his list of accomplishments, and he went to college. He's got a master's degree. He immediately became a PR guy and started writing self-help books.
So he's the hype man. Yeah.
So maybe there's something really good in these self-help books or in these self-help speeches that he gives. So let's listen to some of Stedman Graham, see if we can figure out why Tom Brady is such a devotee when it comes to Stedman.
It's a pleasure to be here. And we're all here because we're trying to be the best we can be. Right? Who wants to be the best you can be? Trying to be the best we can be. And the great hero of mine, it's Gandhi and Kennedy and Nelson Mandela and Dr. King. And Dr. King said, in talking about becoming the best you can be, he says, even if it falls your lot to be a street sweeper, sweep streets like Michelangelo painted pictures. Sweep streets like Handel and Beethoven composed music. Sweep streets like Shakespeare wrote poetry. Sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will have to pause and say, here lived a great street sweeper.
Can we pause, please? He is Brian Griffin writing his self-help book. Imagine it, see it, do it. I mean, it's or whatever it was. It's nonsense. He's the dog from Family Guy who, as a goof, said, I can write one of these crappy self-help books, but then kind of came to believe it himself. I firmly believe most of these guys start out saying, you know what? I know how to make a quick buck. I can speak this language.
You know what?
And it's all BS, but I'll do it anyway. And then they start to believe it. And what's really scary is they get other people to think that not only is there some value here, but there's something unique to what this guy is saying.
But at least, Tony Robbins, everybody breaks Tony Robbins' balls.
As they should.
The second you walk in, well, he's got my attention because of the intensity.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Here's what you're going to do. And we're jumping around. You know, it may be all smoke and mirrors and jumping around and
be the best that you can be.
I'm going to tell
it,
you.
Do it. Love it.
I'm going to tell you what other men have told other men to be. I figured it out. I didn't say it. Dr. King said it.
Right.
You sweep that street, you sweep it like Handel would compose music.
Or, here's the most obnoxious thing as he says, Beethoven, which I guess we should all be saying that instead of Beethoven, but nobody does.
Okay.
So don't say it.
It's one thing.
Stop it.
It's one thing to grand. It's one thing to ingratiate yourself with someone because, okay, you're a common acquaintance of somebody. Okay. I know Jim Gray, right? Not me, but say you're Brady. Okay. I'm friends with Jim Gray. Okay. Gray's got these people. He knows Oprah and he's got to deal with Stedman Graham. why are you going out of your way to attach yourself to this dude?
I don't know.
This dude. I get understand.
Sweep streets like Handel and Beethoven composed music.
Okay, Jim found this video online. How many views does the video have? Did you say only 1,500?
Yeah, 1,500, yeah.
And Oprah is your significant other? And she can't even pump you up?
By the way,
Tony Robbins.
And you're a marketing guy.
Tony Robbins will bang out halls. I don't care. You can sit here and make fun of Tony Robbins all you want. He's laughing to the bank because he's packing places. People are lining up, sold out to go see Tony Robbins, and you're paying a fine ticket price to go see him.
Yeah.
You ain't showing up to listen to this guy talk.
It's wish it,
want
it,
do it. What are you doing attaching yourself to this guy?
That's the Brian Griffin book.
And wish it, want all it, this do it. Love it.
Right. Wish it, want it,
that's
it.
Like that be the Kendrick Lamar
best. You can be.
Work it. Work it.
Is there any more from Stedman? Do we have any more Stedman?
Oh, that was just the first part of that video.
Walk
yeah.
it. Talk it. Walk it.
That was just the first part of the video.
Give me a little Kendrick Lamar, Tom. A
couple more minutes.
Talk it.
All right. Let's continue it next, because we're still waiting on Tuukka Rask audio from this morning, unless we have that ready to go.
No, we have that. We can do it later in the hour, yeah.
Okay, let's do that at 12:50.
What are we doing, UFOs?
Let's do... Oh, wow, there's a lot. There's a lot.
Hey, we still have an hour and a half left.
Okay. Let's continue with Stedman Graham next, because Tom Brady brought him up again last night.
What am I missing? Tell me what I'm missing with him.
If you're worried at all about Tom Brady...
I'm starting to worry.
Maybe this is why. More coming up. Tim McCone with the Hub headlines here. It's Hardy and Zolak down at Gillette Stadium here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub headlines.
We'll start in the NFL. Mike Giardi tweeting out that per source, Pats tight end Dwayne Allen suffered a knee injury on Sunday. He won't need surgery, but is expected to miss a few weeks. Adam Schefter says there are discussions right now about whether the Chiefs-Rams game will still be played in Mexico City, in L.A., or postponed. The league wants to play it Monday night in Mexico City, but the field is a mess and might not be safe for players. Steelers running back Le'Veon Bell has until 4 p.m. today to sign his franchise tender if he wants to play this season, and the Bills have released quarterback Nathan Peterman. Friday, the Bruins announced that Tuukka Rask would be taking a leave of absence from the team for personal reasons. Today, Rask rejoined the team, telling reporters he needed time to be with his family and the situation is behind him. He's ready to focus on hockey. At no time did he contemplate retirement. Yaroslav Halak will get the start in net for Boston tomorrow when they visit the Avalanche. Tuukka will return Friday or Saturday. Also, Bruce Cassidy saying Brandon Carlo will miss at least tomorrow's game and he will not travel. Celtics, coming off two straight losses, are also off today. They'll be back at the Garden tomorrow night when they welcome the Chicago Bulls. In Major League Baseball, the Manager of the Year awards will be revealed tonight at 6. Alex Cora is a finalist in the AL. Sports of Headlines brought to you by U.S. Marker Board. Moving into a new office, customize your space with a high-quality whiteboard or glass board to organize staff, projects, and goals. USMarkerBoard.com. I'm Tim McCone, Boston's home for sports, 98.5. The Sports Up. Your next update, 30 minutes.
From Gillette Stadium, it's Zolak and Bertrand, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates, on 98.5 The Sports Hub and online at 98.5thesportshub.com.
Zolak and Bertrand live on 98.5 The Sports Hub, as opposed to recorded. We generally don't do anything recorded.
I hate when people say that.
I said it once.
Hey, we're coming to you live from... No, we're dead. We're coming to you dead.
Well, we're in Gillette Stadium. Zoe's got his Patriots duties to take care of today. One of them will be asking Tom Brady about his good friend Stedman.
I got the big boy later tonight.
Yeah. What's that for?
I got to bring it up. It's for All Access.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
We do it once a year during the bye.
Mm-hmm. So it's
an annual Brady interview.
This is a big thing.
Like, what are you doing?
So you're going to ask him?
I'm asking.
You're going to ask him about Stedman?
Yeah.
Well, maybe between now and then.
I mean, I'm not asking for the interview, but.
No, I understand. Yeah, because it's kind of a fringe topic and you only have so much time. But
you
maybe.
And I come in next day. We'll marry you. What's the matter with you? Slap you upside down.
Maybe between now and then you'll start to come around on Stedman Graham if we listen to some more of what he has to say. He's not just an author of books like You Can Make It Happen, A 9-Step Plan for Success, or the follow-up, You Can Make It Happen Every Day, or the follow-up to that, Teens Can Make It Happen.
Do you think Drew Brees read these books? Because didn't when Drew Brees broke his records, he had his kids there, And remember, he just looked at the two boys. Hey, boys.
Yeah,
the daughter
right.
was there.
Right.
You guys, you can do anything you put your mind to. You can do it.
When did Tom Brady really burst onto the scene and become a national figure? What year?
I don't know. When did he do it? When did first he... Super Bowl, 01.
Okay. Oh.
It's kind of like nationally, though, was like kind of like when he was at the White House. Remember he was at the White House after that first Super Bowl, like 2002?
Guess what came out in 2001? Stedman Graham's Ultimate Guide to Sports Marketing.
Wish it, want it, do it.
No, that's not Stedman Graham. That's Brian Griffin. I want to hear more Stedman Graham, please. Tom, can we hear more from Stedman Graham?
This is making me angry.
So what's the missing piece for 99% of the people in the world? The missing piece is they forget to use the brain. See, they turn the brain off or never turn it on. They forget to T-H-I-N-K. And they go to school and the educational system teaches them how to memorize, take tests, repeat information back. They get labeled with a grade. And if you ask them what they learned 2 weeks later, they would say, what? I don't know. So you're doing the same thing over and over every single day, world.
So you go to school, you get tested, they give you a grade. Hey, what do you do? Really? Is that what kids do?
They forget.
Kids sort of retain. You sort of retain.
They forget to T-H-I-N-K.
I don't.
Okay.
I'll tell you what. I don't even like his delivery.
I don't like him. I don't like his delivery.
I don't like this. I don't like this inner circle thing they have going on. It makes me not like Oprah more now. Not that I ever liked Oprah.
Does it give you some answers as to what
freaking hot air too?
If you believe something's wrong with Tom Brady, could this be part
this
of it?
This is when you get to a certain point and you have so much money and so much time and you dress so. I mean, this started at the Met Gala this year with the crazy black suit and all the gold trim and the turtleneck. And he's like, don't film me anymore. Hey, stop. Hey, do not film me anymore. This is where you get so far out of your realm. You need to start surrounding yourself with stranger people.
They forget the T-H.
T-H-I-N-K.
He talks like that, like at the cookout, hand me some wings.
Could you hand me some W-I-N-G-S?
I don't know.
I dig that Brady's a thinker. Like I like that he's positive.
But this is crap.
This is borderline
this is
freak.
No, it's nothing.
He went out of his way to bring up Stedman's name. Like
yes, it's like our good friend Stedman
you think,
says.
Like, you think in the email, 2TB12@AOL.com from Jimmy from Scratchy. Hey, Tom. Can you please slide in our good friend Stedman's name in there?
You forget what he said? We've listened to it 10 times already. What does our good friend Stedman say?
They forget to T-H-I-N-K.
You got to keep it going.
He's a good dresser. You should have seen the suit he had on the other day.
I know.
At the game.
I know.
Looked damn good.
I know.
He always looks good that neck out. Classic black pants, white jacket, bow tie. Oh, man.
It's troubling. It's really troubling.
This one went.
Hold on, George. A little more, I think.
He went crazy this year.
The George in Austin has something on Stedman. What is it, George?
Gentlemen, this is the greatest bit in radio history.
This is what we do, George. This is hot stuff, okay? When we see something such a freaking disaster, we pound it.
I just wish Donald Sterling would give us a quote on Stedman, like big Stedman Graham, like he did about Magic. This is unbelievable. You guys do this every day. I really appreciate it. And long-time listener, first-time caller, you. But God, this is hilarious.
Thank you. We're not trying to be funny. Starting to get really pissed off is what's happening.
Kip in Rhode Island has something on Stedman Graham. Go ahead, Kip.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
Good, man. Love Zoe and Beetle in the morning.
Thank
you. Know,
thank you.
I'm just watching you today, and I noticed you're talking about Stedman. You know, and
Would you pay $4 to watch this man speak?
I don't know.
Would you? Seriously?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't spend money.
I don't know.
Speak, you know, I go see music. I'll spend money for that. But
sure. I think music.
Is it Jim? Your name Great. There? What's it?
Yeah. Great. Yes.
No. Zoe, your partner there today. What's his name?
Hardy. Bob.
Jim Hardy.
Bob. Yeah. Jim Hardy.
That's right.
I don't know.
Okay. Tim, I it's just that, you know, it's not very becoming of you to, like, you know, be ridiculing Stedman for, like, what he's done.
And they go to school.
What do you do?
Well, how many books have you written, for instance?
One.
You know, how many kids have you talked to
Three.
In school? How many?
I talk a lot. Yeah. I do a lot of speaking in the off season. I do.
Kip, the whole point is these books can be written by anybody. They're filled with nothing. That's not an accomplishment to write a book called, what is it? The nine step plan.
You know what? Tell me how I can do it.
By a guy who hasn't really accomplished anything.
Well, define accomplishment. I mean, I haven't written any books either. I write poetry now and then, but I.
Congratulations.
I'd read your poetry over reading this guy's book.
Exactly. That's my point.
Okay. There's some depth to it.
Why would you read a success plan from a guy whose most successful thing he's ever done.
He can't even get married by her.
Was not have Oprah Winfrey break up with him. To me, that's been his biggest accomplishment.
I don't know. It's debatable. Here's the thing. I just, I think that you guys have better things to talk about than like Stedman.
What?
I understand.
Well, you don't have anything better to do, Kip. You took time out of your day and waited on hold for a really long time in order to say it. So maybe we don't.
No.
Maybe you don't either.
I wrote a poem called Brady Boner, for instance.
Can you read it for us?
I don't know.
Can you give me a minute to look it up?
Absolutely.
I can't remember. I can't remember. You know,
he could be the poet laureate of the Zolak and Jim Hardy show.
Cool. Well, hold on. Let me find it. Okay.
How long ago did you read it?
Thanks for joining Zone Jim.
How long ago did you write it?
Hold on.
This is a new song. Yeah. Hold on. Turn the music down, please, Tom. There we go.
All right, Kip's
going to read his poem. Go ahead.
Kip's on it.
Okay. All right, it's called Brady Boner, okay? And here it goes. Okay, Brady Boner. I've got a Brady Boner. I'm not ashamed to say. The freaking guy just brings his all on each and every play. I've got a Brady Boner, and wouldn't you agree? He plays for mom. He plays for team. He plays for you and me. I've got a Brady Boner, and let me please mansplain. I don't want Brady's boner, no, but I can feel his pain. I've got a Brady Boner.
Okay, I'm done.
I'm done.
I don't know.
I don't want to let crazy too close
to
the
show. He was
starting
to feel his pain.
Yeah, he was. We allowed the crazy into our house for a little while.
Did he have a Brady Boner?
But then when you allow crazy to stay, then it infects everything, okay?
They forget to T-H-I-N-K.
I couldn't.
I can understand why he wouldn't want us speaking ill of bad writers. I get it now.
If I had a case of tomatoes, which I don't have a case of tomatoes, and I was at that, and he started, T-I-H-N-K, I would start firing at tomatoes from the back in the back row, just throwing those tomatoes.
We get Brody and Calvin together this afternoon. Could they write a better poem than
this?
Yes.
I don't know.
Calvin get a Brady Boner yet? I'll take that.
It's a big day in a boy's life, isn't it? First one.
Hey, they usually get about 9 or 10.
Yeah. We'll step aside.
They forget to T-H-I-N-K.
No. I can't do it.
I think we're done. I think we're done with Stedman.
You mentioned sharks.
There's a little bit more. Maybe takeaways we can revisit.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right.
This is where Brady's jumped the shark, okay? Do we do sharks next? We said we had some shark stuff with Francis.
No. We have Tuukka Rask. We have the audio ready to go. We're going to save that for... We'll do that next. We'll begin it next. Tuukka Rask, he finally was back at practice today. He did take his few days off, but he spoke.
Okay.
We have it for you. We'll play it for you next.
I don't know.
You can hear the podcast of Zolak and Bertrand on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com. Here's Owen Beadle from Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand, Hardy in for Beadle. Before we get to Tuukka Rask, Tom and Rainham has a thought on the poem guy that called in a few minutes ago. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey guys. How are you? Hardy, big fan of yours and the whole station ever since the BCN days. Just want to sneak that in there.
Thank you.
I just have to, you guys have to acknowledge the fact that that guy, maybe as the likes of which have never been seen, kind of pulled one over on you. You thought you had a legitimate Stedman crazy person supporter on the phone, and he strung you along and strung you along. And then he drops a Brady Boner poem on you guys when you finally said, let's hear one of your poems. I mean, I just
want to
take a minute and applaud him and just kind of say that was pretty great.
Okay.
I don't know what you think.
Well, anything else?
No. And Tom, I thought you were going to do it. What someone else suggested was I cut him off before he got to the Sarge Sucks line of his poem. And had that happened, I would give him real credit. But it didn't happen.
That would be from a very creative standpoint.
It wasn't going anywhere.
I just think we had a lunatic from down south on the phone with us.
I got a Brady Boner, and here's $1,000 to say that I love Brady and Sarge Riley really sucks. You know, you could have done it like that.
I thought you could rhyme something else.
All right, it's called Brady Boner.
No, it's not. We're not doing that
my
again.
Takeaway.
All right, let's get to Tuukka Rask here, who spoke today. He returned to practice as Bruce Cassidy thought he would after the win against the Vegas Golden Knights on Sunday night. And Halak was brilliant in goal for two games. He allowed two goals over those back-to-backs against the Maple Leafs on Saturday and Vegas on Sunday night. He played as he's been playing all season long. He was solid. You know, with the exception of a couple of games here and there, the Vancouver game was a disaster for both goalies. But Halak was good. Tuukka got his time away for his personal reasons. He was back at practice today. He spoke. Here it is.
Yeah, so if I can just open up, and then if you guys have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. So first and foremost, I want to thank all the people who sent me messages and contacted me and supported me. Second of all, I want to thank the Boston Bruins for giving me the opportunity to take time off with my family. And I've never been more proud to be a part of this family, the Boston Bruins, because we talk about a lot that this is a family and we are a family and we take care of each other when times are tough. And that being said, I have a job. My job is to be a hockey goalie for the Boston Bruins. And I also have another job title, and that's a family man. And this was a time that deep inside my heart, I felt like I needed to take time to be with my family and make things right so I can be back here and focus on my job. And that took 3 days. I'm back here. I'm back to work. And I'm ready to battle with these guys. At the end of the day, I realized that, you know, hockey career is a very short career, but your life is much longer than that. So I appreciate that, you know, I got the privacy and the time I needed, and I'm ready to move on now. So thank you.
I'll say this.
Wow.
It was really well said.
I'd expect that.
We can speculate, and we've all heard like rumors, or a lot of us have heard rumors as to what was going on and why he needed to take time away to, as he just said, make things right. Whatever he was doing, I can almost guarantee you it wasn't fun. It was not something.
Sounds like he had a little come to Jesus moment over the weekend.
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
And Zoe, you don't know. I don't know. I can almost guarantee you, though, it was not a good time. So hopefully for his sake and the sake of his family, whoever he was dealing with and whatever they were dealing with has in fact been settled a little bit and set right, because you know we've all been through family things where you've got that sinking feeling in your gut
and it doesn't
go away.
Festers and it festers and it festers.
No matter
festers.
What else you're supposed to be doing at work or you're supposed to be enjoying yourself, you've got this thing like nagging at you right in there where it's like things aren't right. Things are bad in what is really the more important part of my life. As Tuukka just said, the part of my life that's going to continue after the hockey career is over. And I think it was very smart of him to say, I thank you for allowing me the time and the privacy to take care of what I needed to do.
And it kind of
instills in me a little bit of sense of, I guess, obligation to continue to grant him that privacy, not pry a whole lot. Because, again, I think whatever he was dealing with probably sucked.
Yeah, it's probably really bad.
Yep.
Sounds like he had to fix something. Not that you fixed that in 3 days. I don't know. I mean, it's probably something you have to continue to work on if it's family related. I don't know. But he was pretty what I take from that is not whether he's right or wrong or whether he departed on the team or whether he's going to be ready to go. Sounds like he was genuine. This wasn't a red statement. I need to apologize to the Boston Bruins. I need to apologize to the fans. Sounds like he spoke from the heart. You take him for that. And, hey, you're human, man. And if you need help and you asked for it, seems like they gave it to him. And Oh, he's ready to. Let's see how he plays now. Let's see how he applies that to his craft.
Right.
And maybe I needed to get my mind right. I did it. And now I'm going to go out and I'm going to bust my ass. I liked what he said. I owe it to the Boston Bruins to go out and play my ass off. I owe it to this teammate. I owe it to the family that I have here in this locker room. So, hey, it is what it is. You know, and give the guys privacy. And let's see. It's up to him to go out and play his ass off now. That's all. Right.
Well, Bruce Cassidy spoke briefly about Tuukka Rask being back. We'll hear that on the other side after we get an update from Tim McComb back in Dorchester, taking care of the Hub headlines here. No commercials, and then we're back here, Zolak and Bertrand Hardy in for Beetle. We're at Gillette Stadium today here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.